The origins of Christmas? Not a biblical custom on today's Native Latin and Black Love History Show.
Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire downwards in Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Masayo ain't playing no wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or bury the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
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 Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I am Captain Yashua.
Happy Sabbath. I am Captain Amariah.
Happy Sabbath. I'm Officer Zara.
Happy Sabbath. I'm Soldier Liazor.
Oh, why you? Why is your voice quivering? Hey, this is Soldier Eliezer's first show. He's nervous over there. Look, he don't want to look at nothing. Look at him. Look at him.
Just a little bit.
Why are you such a mess, bro? Relax. We got like 10 listeners. It's okay.
Wow.
It's not the hundreds. I know, I'll be doing daily bread. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people.
Right.
Like, I can't even keep up with comments. Like, here, I could actually read comments a little bit and stuff like that.
That's funny.
Daily bread, man. It's like, I don't even see the comments, you know? I'm just like, damn, you know?
And then they get y'all fired up. Bring it out.
Yeah. Oh man. And then we also have Officer Zara from Arkansas, IUIC of Arkansas, in the house. All right. All praises. Welcome.
19-hour drive.
19-hour drive.
Knocked it out.
Yeah, no, my man still looks tired.
Yeah.
It's tired last night. You know. It's like, you know, we were like both kind of there. He was like, you know, I just got here and I'm tired. And I'm like, yeah, you know, and I'm tired and I gotta do my class. I was like, bro, you know, you want to go to sleep, man, you good. You know, he felt like, hey, you know, I don't want to be rude. I said, nah, bro, go. Man, and then, you know, I had a call last night, and I didn't go to bed until like almost 1 o'clock, man, anyway.
Dang.
You know, after the call, it took me a while to, like, get into the mode to do my class, and, you know, I had a bunch of thoughts of where I wanted to go or whatever. I try not to push it too much when I prepare class. I kind of just, I really try to... You know, getting my feelings about it.
I try not to
push it that way. So, you know, I'll start with like a couple of scriptures, and then, you know, sometimes I'll read them and I wait to see if, like, you know, precept pops in and it doesn't, and then I'll be like, okay, let me try something else, and then it'll trigger, and then all of a sudden it's just like, and I got papers all over the place because I'm thinking of one, but I don't want to put it in this order.
Are you talking about this class or the class you give?
No, the class that I give. The class that I give before the pre-Sabbath class. No. This. I usually wing it, just get a little information, and I just kind of let us flow as we talk.
Yo, so tell me why yesterday I'm at work, right? I'm working, and then my job coaching. So I'm like, okay, job coaching, whatever. Go to the office, I'll go, hey, you know, like, yeah, food to everybody, so, you know, everyone's going to be getting a break. I'm like, that's what's up. Okay, cool. So I go, like, right, I'm getting in line, I'm like, you know, like, what the hell's the food for? Right? And I'm like, you know, just there. And I realize. I look at the end, and then sure enough, sure everyone's wearing Christmas sweaters, like telling me, hey, Christmas. I was like, oh, hell no. I went and got a bag of chicken and chicken outside.
Oh, damn.
Bro, I didn't even think about this.
No, good though, right?
And then the devil jumped out, and I'm like, just getting some, like, you know, after the radio, you know, you don't have,
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
So now this is the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He's talking to Nicodemus, and he's telling him that a man has to be born again. The Bible was written in a very masculine form, but it's talking about a man and a woman. But he's letting us all know that come seek the Lord in sincerity and truth, that in order to make it to the kingdom, that we have to be born again. It doesn't just mean you get a big bath full of water, and you get dunked in it, and say, okay, I accept Christ as my Savior, and now I'm born again. No, being born again means exactly what he's saying. You have to learn to live your life all over again. Come unto him as a new babe, like he says in Matthew, the 18th chapter. So the reason why I'm bringing this out is because, like Captain said, we're touching on Christmas, a holiday that a lot of us celebrated back in the world. I always hated Christmas. Always.
I
never liked Christmas.
I love the shit out of Christmas.
Because I would associate Christmas with depression and death.
You know what? I had bad childhood memories of Christmas. Because I had, like, abandonment issues until, like, my mid-20s.
Right.
From when my pops left. So I used to have, like, this sad story I would tell about Christmas and all this shit. Part of my language. So I don't know. I felt like I was trying to create good memories with it.
No. I get what you're saying. Trust me. I always felt good being able to do things for people. But overall, I always associated with people that work themselves tirelessly, stress out over not being able to get gifts for their kids.
Right.
So I just never liked it. I never liked it whatsoever. I would celebrate it because it's just what we did, right? But in being born again, we got to realize that Christmas is a sin. Mm-hmm. And you tell people that, they don't know Scripture 1. They know Jesus wept, right?
Yeah.
They know John 3:16. Mm-hmm. But when they say, well, how come you don't celebrate Christmas? And you say, it's a sin. They know sin. They know, oh, whoa, that's bad. And then automatically they get on the defensive. What do you mean it's a sin? What do you mean it's a sin? It's very simple to understand. God didn't ordain it, so it's a sin to celebrate it. So in being born again, you got to put off these customs and traditions of the world and put on the full armor of God, which is God's laws. God gave us high holy days to keep in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. He never once said, hey, go take a tree and decorate it and then put presents under it, even though he said don't do that, and I'm sure we're going to get that later on. But in being born again, we got to understand that we got to come back to our true heritage, all right? The so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, the indigenous people of North, Central, South America, make up the 12 tribes of Israel.
That's right.
All right? Our history has been lost, and all praise to the Most High that he's given us the understanding and the remembrance to come back to who we really are. All right? Read it again, John 3:3.
Book of John, chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Read on.
Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old?
So now Nicodemus gets simple. He says, now how can a man be born when he's already old? Read on.
Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Common sense will tell you no. There's no way that you can physically go back into your mom's womb and be born again. Read on.
Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
So now this is where Christianity hits people in the head and say, see, he says water. That's why we got to get dunked in water. Water was always symbolic, all right? The true baptism is when you understand where you're falling short and where you're transgressing God's laws. Acknowledge them and forsake them, and then those sins wash off you. That's the symbolic terms for the water, all right? It's understanding who you are and repenting. But Christ is letting them know, no, you don't have to go a second time into your mom's womb. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. The Spirit is God's laws. That's it. The Bible was very repetitive from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. It says the same things over and over and over again. Why? Because Israel is stiff-necked, rebellious, so he has to send the various prophets throughout time to give us the same exact message. Salvation only pertains to the nation of Israel, all right? Salvation is not open to the so-called white man, all right?
Right.
Who's Esau, according to the Bible. It's not open to the Asians. It's not open to the Arabics. Salvation means to be saved. What do these nations have to get saved from? All the Fortune 500 companies that they own,
No. We're the ones that need salvation because we're the ones at the bottom. We're the ones that are suffering from the atrocities, the ill treatments. And I'll praise the Most High that we have things like social media today, so now we can actually see it. But for years, it's been disguised. And one of the things that they do to keep us in sin is they give us these pagan holidays. And our people can't explain why they celebrate them. They just say that they do. Why? Because it's like a custom. Tradition. It's a tradition. It's same thing with baptism. Well, why do you baptize your newborn baby?
Hmm.
Well, it's just a tradition. We just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to break this mold of being comfortable in these traditions, and then come back to what God said for us to do. Because that's what these commandments do. They put you in a box. They put you in a box, and you have to discipline yourself. And I was telling somebody just yesterday at work. He asked me a question, and then I told him, no, I don't do that. And he says, well, why? No. He said, because we took our bids at work. And he got a bid, and basically he's going to be working all through the weekends and everything else. He says, it just sucks because, not because I can't keep the Sabbath now, right? Not because I can't keep the holidays. He says, it just sucks because, you know, now I can't, like, be there to celebrate my son's birthday. Or I can't be there to celebrate whatever. And I'm like, you know what, bro? You're not going to get no sympathy from me because I don't do those things.
Right.
Because those things are a sin.
Right.
And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah. I said, bro, it's this simple. Pretty much everything that you're comfortable and like doing is probably a sin.
That's
what it means to be born again. You got to subdue all that understanding that you have and start applying God's laws.
Right.
And he's like, and after everything I said, birthdays are a sin? Birthdays are a sin? He's like, but what about Jesus' birthday? I said, bro, Christ never told us to celebrate his birthday.
Right.
Ever, ever, ever. And nor was he born on the 25th of December. We lost the Facebook?
Yeah, I'm trying to get over my anger for it not being set up correctly. But then I got to check myself, right? See, because you have to self-examine. And me knowing that brothers always messing stuff up, I should have checked to make sure it was hardwired and not wireless, but. So, yeah, right, so it's my fault.
No, it's not.
No. I'm taking accountability.
All right, let's get Colossians 2, verse 8. While you continue to post those links, let's get Colossians 2, verse 8. All right. In the New Testament, all right? So we're going to stay in the New Testament for a little bit for people that say, well, that's the Old Testament.
Right.
That's the Old Testament there. We're
done away with.
Right, that's done away with. We're under Christ. All right. Colossians 2, verse 8.
The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8.
And this scripture is beautiful because it literally applies to, like, everything. Everything that this world pushes gets smashed with Colossians
right,
2, verse
right,
8.
Right.
Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
So now, when the Lord put the Spirit on the Apostle Paul to write these letters to the different churches of the Israelites in Colossae and Ephesus and Galatia, He uses specific words for a reason. The first thing he says is beware. I'm giving you a warning. I'm gonna warn you about something. All
right.
He says beware lest any man spoil you through what?
Through philosophy and vain deceit.
Read.
After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
There's gonna come a point in time when there's gonna be doctrines and heresies that rise up against God's word, and they're gonna be pushed throughout the earth and kept as traditions of men and not of Christ. Christmas is not of Christ. They put Christ's name in it to make it familiar so people can accept mm-hmm. it as, okay, this is of God. But it was never, never about Christ. It dates back to ancient Babylon. It says, after the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Christmas is nothing to do with the Most High God nor his son.
All right, and understand, we've gone over this before when it comes to rudiments. The definition of rudiments goes into, it's not the whole thing. It's partial or incomplete.
Right.
And this is where they've gone and they've tried to associate it with Christ, mm-hmm. right? So this is the part where, you know, it's a rudiment. It's not the full understanding of it. And you know, Lord's will, we're going to go over that today. We've gone over it in the past, but you can never be re-edified enough.
Right.
We understand that the world is deeply polluted. And then, you know, for the exhortation and the edifying of those who maybe might be listening for the first time or – you know, maybe it comes out in a different way so that it can be shared with them and they can understand that, you know. So were you done with that?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
That was it.
So it was interesting as you were talking, right, as I was angry trying to fix the connection here with the Facebook thing. I'm sorry, it's just so funny because I'm looking and I'm like, yo, how come this thing isn't hardwired? We told them that it needs to be hardwired. I'm like, why is the connection messed up? So then I'm looking, and I look to my left, and I see the freaking cord all the way over there in the corner and not in the damn computer where it should be.
We're going to get it right. We're going to get it right.
Hey, it's a good thing I don't suffer from ulcers and stuff, man, because, like, you know, I don't know. People know me. Like, I'm not the angry, like, I run around, like, angry. People know me. Actually probably see me, like, you know, smiling most of the time or whatever. But I internalize a lot of that anger, bro. Anyway, so you're talking to me, you're saying some stuff, and you know, we're talking about how, like, you know, people look at you weird, and right, you know, we've said this before, like, you know, you don't celebrate birthdays, you don't celebrate Christmas, is another one, right? What do you mean you don't celebrate Christmas? That's un-American, you know?
Like, right.
That's un-American. And it's funny because we were going over it on the opening of the feast in Maccabees. And I've gone over that a lot on the show, 1 Maccabees 1, like I believe it's 41 down. You know, and it talks about those things become a form of a religion, right? And mm-hmm. a religion is anything that people are dogmatic about that holds you to something, right? A lot of times we think religion and we think the popular definition of denominations
right.
of right. Christianity or you know, I mean, there's even in Islam. You have like Sunni Muslims and whatever and all these different things. Even in Judaism, they mm-hmm. you know, we're Sephardic, we're Ashkenazi, whatever it is. But you have to look at those things in other ways and, you know, politics and different things like that. Another thing, so this is what I was thinking about. And, you know, I'm probably going to – I have that book. I'm pretty sure I have it somewhere. I still have to unpack some books. And I've been meaning to do stuff on it. I'm probably start breaking down and doing some classes on it. But I want to talk about it a little bit today before we go into Christmas. There's a thing called social norms, all right? Social norms. And these are sociological terms, and they're called social norms. So I want to read a little bit about it. You know, just summarizing it, a social norm – is the status quo, right? And so when, for example, you can be at a sporting event, for example, let's say you're there, mm-hmm. and everybody stands up for the national anthem, right? Pledge of Allegiance, that's school, right? They do that in school.
Right.
I know my daughter's asking me about it. She's like, what does it mean, one nation under God?
Yeah.
And I was like, they think God is known. So, you know, I have to explain it to her. We've worked it out with the teacher where we don't even let her go to, she knows not to put her hand or recite it, but you know, they it's like they're slick. So, and I'm gonna tell you how they're slick. We would tell her to sit, right? And Normal said, no, don't stand for it or nothing. Mm-hmm. So, no, they do it outside where everybody's standing in line. Mm. So, you're standing anyway, like there's nowhere, like you're not sitting.
Oh, wow,
right? Wow. So we said, damn. Okay, so we spoke to them and we said, listen, you know, we gave the scripture where it said, thou shalt not forswear thyself. And I said, you know, my daughter can't, you know, compete in that. You know, can we bring her like a couple minutes later? And all praises, the teacher was like real accommodating. She was like, yeah, no problem. She was like, whatever. So my daughter doesn't go to the flag ceremony. I wait with her in the hallway. Mm-hmm. So she gets to skip all that stuff altogether. So,
all praises.
Yeah, all praises. I don't know what's going to happen next year. I don't know. I have a timeline on her in school, man. Like we got to do the homeschooling thing because she picks up a lot of stuff in there. But anyway. The point is, because you think about the pledge, you think about all this, Christmas, it's a social norm, right? Just like you said, like even the baptism and stuff, like, well, why do you baptize your baby? Well, because my parents did it.
Right.
Because it was done to me. And yeah, so it becomes something that's just, the definition they put here is it's informal understandings that govern the behavior of members of a society. Mm. It governs them. It's kind of like I used to joke when you used to celebrate New Year's. It could be like June and you hadn't seen the brother since like December and it's the obligatory Happy New Year. It's like an unwritten rule that if I ain't seen you since so 2019 rolls through, but it could be October 2019 and I ain't seen you since 2018. I got to be like, hey, yo, what's up, fam? Happy New Year.
Yep.
Right. Social norms. So it says they're informal. Right. There's no law in the books that you do it. Understandings that govern the behavior of members of a society. Social psychology recognizes smaller group units, such as a team or an office, and they may also endorse norms separately or in addition to cultural or societal expectations. So they give an example where what they mean by that is you could have smaller circles where there's norms. I'll give you a righteous example Israel, repenting Israel. Mm-hmm. We have our social norms, which are what? Fringes, beards, women not wearing attire of men, you know, pants, things like that. Us celebrating the proper high holy days. That's normal for us, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And now with the proper understanding of the new moon, it's even less normal to the outside because, you know, I told people I celebrate Hanukkah and they're like, oh yeah, Hanukkah was December 3rd or whatever. No, yeah. we count it different. And it's not normal to them because that's not the dominant culture.
Right.
Okay. So another thing they use here as an example is like bulimia is more accepted among like cheerleading squads and models than it would be at the world at large. So you have smaller group units that also have norms. But when you're looking at the macro scale, all right, societal scale, Christmas is one of those big ones, man, where it's like you're a freaking weirdo if you don't keep that thing. And the tactic is usually to try to make you seem like you're not normal for keeping it. And it's not something that necessarily needs to be taught where somebody's telling these people, oh, these people don't celebrate Christmas, so you should make sure that you, you know, shame them and make them feel weird. It comes naturally to them,
uh-huh.
right? Now, it is a learned behavior, but it's learned because that's what they've seen others do, and that's what's kind of impressed upon them. And that's the power of the sociological like construct and how these things work and how societies work, right? So it says, in other words, norms are regarded as collective representations of acceptable group conduct as well as individual perceptions of particular group conduct. So it's collective acceptance, which is what you're starting to see now with homosexuality becoming a social norm. And then they use these different mediums, institutions, okay, to pass these things through. So this is why they're very anxious to get certain churches on board to teach that Sodom agenda. Mm-hmm. This is why they're okay with schools teaching it. Putting prominent figures has always been a tactic. Endorsements, right? Because this is what we do, right? If you think about it, Jordans without Jordan and the Jumpman behind it is just another pair of shoes that cost the same as probably something that didn't have the name or that moniker on it. Made right. of the same. It's not like it's better quality. It's not like it makes you jump higher, run faster, mm-hmm. fly through the air.
Same as Pro Wings.
Right. People. He said Pro Wings. Damn. And it's funny because they actually did something recently. I was looking, Payless did an experiment and they have a social media thing like that where they opened up a store and they made it like this boutique exclusive thing mm-hmm. and they were selling their Payless shoes, but without the Payless label.
Right.
And they were selling them for $600, $700, and people were in there. They got an exclusive invitation and everything like that. And they freaking go in there and they're like, oh, and they're, oh, these are so great. They're so fabulous. They're exclusive. And then at the end of it, they're like, yeah, these are Payless shoes.
Dang.
And, you know, they're like $40, not $600. And people were like, you know, I'm sure there was something that was mad as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
But they showed the ones that were okay. It goes to show you the power of the cult of personality is a term that they use. The epoch or the zeitgeist of the times. All right, that these are all different terms that they use for that, and they flow and they ebb and change. Right, there was a time where the traditional world of women was honored. Now, where a social norm is, if you're home and you want to be a homemaker, it's not norm. It's the same effect that you get like with Christmas where
right.
people are going to shame you. Well, don't you want to do something? What about being a strong, independent woman? And like again, and the tactic is always to shame those mm-hmm. who don't follow that social epoch, that dominant culture of what's going on.
All right.
So it says, they can be viewed as cultural products, including values, customs, and traditions. And I like the word traditions because that's what we're going to go into as we break down Christmas. That's what we read in Colossians, which represent individuals' basic knowledge of what others do and think that they should do.
Mm.
The point that I'm trying to impress upon people and to listeners is that you're more of a sheep than you realize.
Yep.
And the people who are awake and that they take a stand for things, you will be ostracized and you will be seen as strange for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always shame that they try to get you with. you're the weirdo. You're the one that's not right. You're the strange one, mm-hmm. right? It says, furthermore, in the field of social psychology, the roles of norms are emphasized, which can guide behavior in a certain situation or environment as mental representations of appropriate behavior. So, you know, it goes back. Is it Proverbs 14 and 12? Get me that real quick.
Yep, that's the one. That's the one.
I'm on the cap.
Bring it out.
I pray you're staying with me. I know sometimes everybody's tuning in. They think we're just going to be blasting Christmas and stuff like that. But you said that and it triggered me. And follow along. Read these things for yourself so you can understand how these things
work. This goes in to what I was saying before. I hated Christmas, but I did it because it was the social norm to do it.
Yes.
It was what I thought I should do because everyone else did it.
Yes, yes. I know. So it's like, you know, you drive through the neighborhood like it's – they real big on that shit in my neighborhood. That's
bro, hell yeah.
Yeah, like, that's one thing. Yeah, they got a contest who has the best house. I mean, some people have went all out. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, damn, my electric bill's high, and I'll be keeping lights off and shit. And I'm like, and they just like, so people could see my freaking light display, like, every night leaving that. I was like, they must be getting a high ass. That's how I'm looking at it. I'm like, you know? But right, if I would have vocalized that, because of social norms, they would be like, you're a Scrooge.
Yeah.
Bah,
yeah.
Humbug. Hey, I saw a meme the other day, now that I think about Scrooge. They said, damn, all this time the Grinch was trying to save your souls.
Oh, yeah.
I said,
that's right.
They put the Grinch up as the bad guy,
yeah.
and Homeboy was actually in the spirit, burning Christmas trees and all that stuff, trying to prevent you from keeping Christmas, man. And notice, what's crazy is that if you really think about it, right, that's how people will see you. And yeah. I mean physically, you look like a monster to them. Because what's the Grinch? He's this weird green looking thing, right?
Right.
Looks like a freaking egg, like a pear, like the babies on the bottom, you know, slim on the top. And they'll like demonize you basically mm-hmm. over this stuff. All right, so read this real quick. So wait, first let me read this. It says, it can guide behavior in a certain situation or environment as mental representations of appropriate behavior. So read this.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man.
When you will start to understand the psychology of the cult of personality, of the dominant culture, all right? And if you base your things on that, see, this is what's so unique, where you can still apply sociology to Israelites and how we move and whatever, right? It's just ways to define things. The difference is, we hold the scriptures, which we understand is spiritual, is powerful, is the divine word, the divine inspired word of the Most High, all right? That this is spirit and this is life, like it says in John 6:63, as the compass. That's the moral compass. It's not the dominant culture, right? So while you can still apply these terms, because somebody might come and say, well, you can say the same things about you. And I even used an example, and I said, you know, smaller group units, a norm for us is this. But our norms are based on something spiritual and divine, against the creator of everything, against the higher power who our thoughts are not his, and his thoughts are higher than ours. Whereas everybody else's are based on their feelings and perceptions.
Right.
And this is why I'm bringing this scripture out. Go ahead.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
It says, so there's a way, there's mental representations of what's appropriate behavior, and it seems right to you. The new generation, homosexuality will seem right to them. Mm-hmm. All right? Birthdays seem right to them. Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Independence Day, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving.
Flag Day.
Flag Day. All right. Veterans Day. Although I take my discounts.
hey, use the world, but
don't abuse it. I take my veterans discounts. Shit. Read this again.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Verse 12,
uh-huh.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways.
And this is what I was saying prior to him reading it. The social norms of the dominant culture, all right, may seem right to you, but those ways are the ways of death because they're not guided by this. It goes back to Colossians, all right? Yes, that's why it says, beware, lest ye be spoiled. Uh-huh. We are to be preserved, to be kept chaste, holy for the Most High in Christ.
Right.
And it says the things of this world, the rudiments, which is a mishmash, hodgepodge of a whole bunch of pagan BS and
right.
feelings, will spoil you. It will make you rotten unto death.
Right. Right there in Proverbs, it says that there's a way which seemeth right, right? But that's why Christ told Nicodemus, but verily, verily, I say unto thee,
uh-huh.
that you got to be born again.
Right.
That seems right to you to do that because that's the social norm and that's what's accepted.
And it's hard to break that.
Exactly.
Because it's a mental representation of appropriate behavior.
Right.
All right. It says, the part where it says it seemeth right unto you, social norm.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly.
You could basically put that right there, social norm. It seemeth right to you.
And then, like you said, it's hard to break because you're so used to it, right? That's why people struggle with the dietary law, or people struggle with different things that they sin in, because they did it for so long and it seemed just totally acceptable to them.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, they're used to it. Nothing has happened to them right now, so they can
right.
just keep doing it. That's what they think about.
Oh, hold on a second. I think there's a caller. Let's see how this goes. Damn, they've been holding for a while. I didn't even look at it. I was just going off. Hey, Shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Are you there?
It doesn't have to be complicated. With the food roadmap poster, you'll have a simple graphic that you can
hello.
Right in place to remind you of the big picture principles of healthy
okay.
eating.
I guess. Maybe they were holding too long, and they said they were holding for like 11 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even check it because I'm so used to not getting calls on the show.
Hey, can I say something?
Yeah, brother, go ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because before I came into the truth, I was raised in a Jehovah's Witness religion, which didn't celebrate Christmas. But the funny thing was that even though we didn't celebrate Christmas, my mom, she probably watched it, always find her way to get to the Christmas party. We're always expected something for Christmas. Always expected something for Christmas, and it confused you. You know what I mean? Because I knew it was wrong, but I wasn't explaining why it was wrong.
Right. No, and nobody could really give you that. The scripture is the only thing that's going to give you that answer. Because you know, I mean, I was watching a segment on somebody had posted a clip where I think the sister was Israel, just not you know fully keeping the laws. I didn't see fringes on or whatever, but. You know, she was talking about like Christmas and birthdays and how she don't celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dr. Phil, being the psychologist that he is, because psychology and sociology, you know, there's parallels there. And those sociology is really the psychology of groups, whereas psychology is the study of individuals.
Right.
So you have to understand the difference in those. But there is psychology within sociology. It's just on a larger scale. And, bro, he's psychologized, if that's a word, I'm making it.
Bro,
the crap out of that whole situation. Because he was like, well, you know, can't you just do it
her.
Like this? And yeah, he shamed her because that's the response. They shame you for not being normal,
yep.
right? Hey, think about it, right? Because like Shades of 300 and the Spartans, because that those thoughts were in my head
mm-hmm.
as I was preparing the pre-class, and the Spartans, even in society, if you were not, as a child even, if you were not adequate enough to meet the warrior society that they were, you would be just cast away.
Mm-hmm.
It was a shame,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's a scene which I'm actually going to use in the show today. Well, the with the hunchback dude, his name was Aphaetes.
Right.
And he was saying, hey, my father hid me
mm-hmm.
because it was shameful. Right. So because if not, they would have been shamed. Right. To it. So you have to understand that in social constructs, it's what carnally we go to. This is why the scripture goes to lengths to say you must fight to be conscious in the spirit
mm-hmm.
and the spirit for us in this weakened state. Because remember, we were made to be gods, but we die like men
mm-hmm.
Is not a conscious it's not a passive thing for us. We have to consciously be doing it, right? So it's like driving, right? Like if you're not there or present driving, right? The best they could do is cruise control,
right?
But you still need to steer, you still need to brake, all that stuff like that, right? There's no autopilot, and carnally autopilot is easy
mm-hmm.
because of social norms, because of mental representations of appropriate behavior. Being in the spirit is a conscious, ever conscious effort that needs to be made in how you walk. Look at how you almost fell for the freaking food.
No, right.
I've had incidents where during the Passover, but there's been a couple times where, like when I was in New York, because, you know, pizza was, so y'all know I love pizza, right? Those who know me, pizza's my thing, right? And I mean, I would eat pizza like 3-4 times. I could eat pizza every day if it's good pizza. Let's put it like that. I eat every day. Cold, hot, whatever. it was just such a autopilot type of thing for me that one day I had went and I had freaking started eating like a slice. I was halfway through. I went, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I was mad as hell, man. See, and if I was the devil, I'd have been like,
I'm already halfway through.
No, I threw the shit out, right? I repented. I was real pissed off. But the point is like we walk that way. Sometimes, how many times y'all be fasting and you forget?
Bro, I've done that many a time, bro.
You in the shower and you're like, what?
Many a time.
Right? So the point I'm making is, you see how conscious the effort has to be in the spirit.
Bro, it's small things.
Yeah.
Like, I was at work the other day, and someone said something to me. It wasn't real offensive, but he was joking, right? And I kind of, like, laughed at it. And then I had to check myself, like, yo, like, hold on. Like, I don't want these people thinking that they can just say whatever to me. And so I walked back to him and was like, hey, don't talk to me like that. And he's like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? And I was like, yeah, I don't like that type of conversation. And I just walked away. That's me having it, like, me thinking, okay, you know what, I can't just be so passive about these things. Like, I got to have it on my conscience. Like, you know what, no. And I can't remember what he said, but it was something gay, I'm pretty sure, because that's just how people roll. Like,
right,
for some reason, in, like, that type of environment, it's always grown men playing a certain way. And I was just
That happens on, like, sports teams, too.
Yeah.
So he said something,
and I was
like, literally grabbing nuts.
Yeah, gross.
Well, I used to be on, like, a softball team, and it's like, they would, like, grab your nuts, and you're like, and then it's a social norm, right? So it's like,
no,
you know,
right. So he said it, and then I it took me a second to be like, nah, hold on, no. Like, nah, I don't joke like that, bro.
Smack your ass.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, you got something you want to bring up?
That's gay.
Hey, this brother's good at this radio show stuff, bro. He was all nervous coming on here, you know? The soldier's saying, like, way more words than the officer. The officer there in the cutter, he's like, he just listening. He's like, yo, I'm just taking mental notes.
Right.
So let me go back to reading this here, right? So it says, furthermore, in the field of social psychology, the role of norms are emphasized, which can guide behavior in a certain situation or environment as mental representations of appropriate behavior. For example, it has been shown that normative messages can promote pro-social behavior, including decreasing alcohol use and increasing voter turnout. So basically, it's letting you know that what we see in as far as the commercials that put out, you know, vote or die or you know, crack kills, right? I remember that because growing up during, like, you know, crack epidemic, right? That was like the thing, crack kills. And that became like a slogan. And stuff like that, they say, can promote pro-social behavior, meaning it'll promote behavior towards that social norm. Guess how else they do that with Christmas? Christmas songs everywhere. And you know your ass catch yourself listening.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm sorry. What?
Bro,
Bro,
that thing be on that work heavy, bro. And I'd be like, damn. And I forgot my headphones today, too.
Can I tell you the one that gets me all the time, bro? Gets me all the time. Mariah Carey's Christmas joint.
Oh, man.
Bro, that thing be, I'd be like, oh, I don't know.
No, bro. I was in Denver, what, 2 weeks ago? I was in Denver? two or three weeks ago, I was in Denver, right? There's a piano inside the lobby, right? So I sit down and then start playing with it, and then one of the songs that I remember by heart is Jingle Bells. So I'm like, oh, hold on, that's the devil. Hold on, let me play something else.
Hey, and I'm gonna tell you something. I'm taking my daughter to school the other day, and she's like, Daddy, I can't get Jingle Bells out my head. I can't, and it was another one. There was two Christmas songs, and I told her, I said, I know, baby. I said it's hard. I said they play it a lot. I said it's, you know, it's catchy. And then I had to stop and explain catchy because she didn't understand what that meant. I said, I'm telling you, man, I learned how to be a more effective teacher in having conversations with my daughter because, like, I realized I can't just throw things out. Like, I got to figure out a way to really give the sense when it comes to her.
Really? Hold on, sweetheart. I like definitions. Hold on real quick.
No, that shit don't work with her, though. Like, so I got to figure out a way to, like, right, they say colloquially or, like, layman's terms.
Right.
I got to figure out how to basically condescend to where she's at to be able to explain it to her. And I was telling her, like, yo, she was like, yeah. And mind you, she didn't grow up with that. But she hears it, and she's like, yeah, she's like that. She's like, you know, I know I shouldn't, but it's in my head. And I said, I understand, baby. I said, it's okay that it's in your head. I said, just when you realize it, just stop. Don't sing it. Don't say it. Mm-hmm. I said, songs are in daddy's heads, too. And you know, I got to catch myself sometimes. What's the other way they do it? The lights.
Yep.
Don't front, bro. You be wearing some of the lights. Yeah. Like, if it's not this crazy display, and it's just, like, some nice lights, like white, blue, whatever, you're like, oh,
that's pretty.
It's so calming.
No, there's a reason why.
Bro, it does something to your spirit.
Right. There's a reason why they have zoo lights at the Phoenix Zoo and why they have Glendale glitters. There's a reason why they have those things.
Yes, it's enchanting. It's enchanting.
That's exactly
but,
what
but
it is.
It's normative messages, and they promote pro-social behavior, all right? So you get that with Christmas, right? You know what they call it? You know what the pro-social behavior is called? The Christmas spirit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's called the Christmas spirit. According to the psychological definition of social norms, behavioral component, norms have two dimensions. How much a behavior is exhibited, meaning manifested and showed, and how much the group approves of that behavior. Both of these dimensions can be used in normative messages to alter norms and subsequently alter behaviors. For example, a message can target the former dimension by describing high levels of voter turnout in order to encourage more turnout. At the same time, norms can also be changed contingent on the observed behavior of others, how much behavior is exhibited. This is a psychological approach. I took a course for sales. Whenever you're like in a sales, they like invest money to send you to these courses. Mm-hmm. And it's called the I'm going to mess it up. It's called the Power of Persuasion. And it's called the Consensus of Many. And they said, you have to use that. Mm-hmm. And you know how they use that? 9 out of 10 people approve this. 9 out of 10 do that. And they've told you, like, this is how you do it, right? So you'd be like, oh, well, you know, yeah, you know, I want it. Let's say you work in retail and you're selling a pair of jeans. Yeah, I want these jeans. Well, you know, most people that come in, they buy these. Mm-hmm. And most people goes with that. It's a reinforcer for that. So, again, it's social norms. I'm trying to break this down a little bit so that you understand where it says the normative messages and the social norms have two components, right? So it says how much the behavior is exhibited and how much the group approves of that behavior. And again, I think although we're speaking of Christmas, you see it a lot, but I can't help but go back to the Sodom agenda. And that's what you're seeing there. How much the behavior is exhibited. The more it's exhibited in this new world, as far as it being pushed, which is not really new, right? We understand right. The Greeks, it's a renaissance for it. You'll start to see the acceptance of behavior, and the two have a correlated mm-hmm. behavior, right? So mm-hmm. it's not inverse, but rather, because inverse would mean one goes opposite and the other, but they both will go up. So the more you see it, the more it becomes accepted, the more you'll see more of it. All right. So they're related in that way. All right. It says behavior. Norms running counter to the behaviors of the overarching society or culture may be transmitted and maintained within small subgroups. So that's us. It runs counter. So it's the counterculture is what we are. It's the mm-hmm. counter norm. This is where the scripture talks about, you know, everything's upside down. Get me the one in Rome. Is it Romans 8:19? I'm going to show you what the counterculture is. Yeah, Parium just wrote social proof, right.
The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectations of the creatures waiteth for the manifestation.
Breathe, because this is one of my favorite scriptures, and you're messing it up.
I'm sorry.
All right? Breathe, get your thoughts together, and read it right.
The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectations of the creatures waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God, right? Because, go ahead, keep reading. I'm going to show you.
For the creatures was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reasons of him who have subjected the same in hope.
Subject to vanity. The creature was made subject to vanity, which is what I was talking about. It's you can be on autopilot to be carnal. You can be on autopilot to be carnal, and this is why Christ said what comes from within you is what defiles you, right? Mm-hmm. It says, not willingly by reason of whom I'm subjected the same in hope. Go ahead, read.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
So it tells you that it's not just on high levels of social behavior, but even from the most basic things in the earth right now, things are turned upside down. So it's telling you even the creature itself is going to be delivered. So like inside, there's a level of consciousness. You ever see the animals look at you in the zoo? And trust me, it's not you reflecting onto them like, damn, man, these dudes are sad. Yo, they sad. And they're like, yo, can you repent?
Yeah. Right.
Can you wake up so I don't have to sit here? I'm a lion. I'm a lion, bro. I need to be roaming the field and hunting. And look at what they got me here. Right? Mm-hmm. Just tossing me this rancid meat.
Right.
You know? You were going to say something?
No.
You look like you're going to say something. Go ahead. Read next verse.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and traveleth in the pain together until now.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Right? So what we're putting out, right? Get me the one where it says be separate. All right. I'm getting hot now.
2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate.
Come out from them social norms. Everything that we've discussed, but specifically on the vein of Christmas, which is a social norm. There is nothing spiritual righteous about Christmas for you to keep.
That's right.
There is no Christ in Christmas.
That's right.
Except in the spelling.
Right.
Right.
That's it. That's it. It has nothing to do with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to read that to you. It's based on a pagan origin. And it don't matter that that's what it was created for. Then you're falling for the freaking psychological, sociological, social norm and the pressure of that
mm-hmm.
when you say shit like that.
Bring it out, Cap.
Oh, it's for the kids.
Right, right.
Oh, it ain't for the kids.
The scripture says that our enemies do a diligent search, right? They search out iniquity and they do it diligently. So they take this old custom that kept our people in sin back then, and they know, okay, we got to keep these guys in sin, according to Judith 5. That way we can continue to reign over them.
Mm-hmm.
But let's do it in a way where, you know, okay, you know what? This was a good custom, but let's put Christ in it. So that way they think that they're celebrating God's Son. Bro,
right.
crafty
right.
council.
Right, and you have to understand something, that these things were made for the other nations, right? So don't lose 2 Corinthians. Hold that. Go to the one, and is it Deuteronomy, is it 4? Yeah, that's what I want. Right, so, because Amiraj just brought it out, and he says what? We'll start at 15, and we'll go to 19. But before you go there, Amiraj just brought it out, and we'll go back to 2 Corinthians.
Yes, sir.
You have to understand that when you read Judith, actually, so you get Judith 5, all right? So let's just bring it out.
Yeah,
might
yeah.
as well. Let's
yeah,
just bring it
yeah.
out.
Bring it up. Got
bring
to.
It up. So you get Judith.
Judith 5.
You keep your 520, right? You keep your finger in Corinthians and where I got you here. We're going to read Judith, then this, and then we're going to go back to Corinthians. All right? Now I'm getting hot.
It happens. It happens.
All right. Go ahead. Read Judith 5.
The book of Judith, chapter 5, verse 20. Now, therefore, my Lord and governor, if there be any error in this people.
He's talking about Israel. He says, if there be any error, meaning sin. All right. If we're transgressing the commandments. Go ahead.
And they sin against their God. Let us consider that this shall be their ruin.
That will be our ruin. That's listen. The other nations know this. You know who don't know it? You, dummy.
Right.
Isaiah 1 and 3, dummy.
Right.
The ass knows, the ox knows, but your dumb behind don't know.
Don't even consider.
Stupid. I'll do it for the kids.
The nations
but
know.
But the lights.
The,
don't go to the light. You remember Poltergeist?
Yeah, yeah. The nations know, hey, look, if we want to continue to be the CEO and we want them to continue to be the janitors cleaning the toilets,
right.
then we got to keep them in sin.
Right, right. That's exactly it. We have to keep them in sin. Go ahead, read.
And let us go up, and we shall overcome them.
And they will overcome us. And they have, because they've kept us in sin as a people. This is how they've been able. This is why no rebellions work, no revolutions work. Because without that proper understanding and what we must do to obtain salvation and to unify as a people, we're never going to be able to. Oh, this is why it says the Most High is long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
He don't it's a long journey for us to get ourselves right.
Right.
And get the heads right. Okay? Go ahead. Read on.
But if there be no iniquity in their nation.
But if there be no sin in their nation. Go ahead.
Let my Lord now pass by.
If they go against the social norms, if they have a counterculture, all right? It says, pass by. Mm-hmm. Walk on by.
There it is.
Go ahead.
Lest their Lord defend them and their God be for them, and we become
and it says, because the Lord will defend us then. The Lord will defend us, and they will be overcome. All right? So, Amariah said, you got to understand, Christmas is one of the most crafty ways that they do that. They do it in many things, but Christmas is one of the biggest ways that they do it. Go ahead, read. What you got, Eliezer?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 15.
Because they're okay with pushing this agenda, because someone will say, well, everybody celebrates Christmas. They're not just trying to make you celebrate it. It's okay for them to do that because that's for them and not for us.
Hey, you know what? That is very true. You know why? Because my second tour in Iraq, when we're clearing houses in freaking Fallujah, guess what was in people's houses? Christmas trees.
Wow.
Damn.
In Iraq.
Hey, that's why a lot of these radical Ishmaelite countries,
mm-hmm.
they're so, bro, they know what comes with America.
Absolutely.
They know the cost.
That's the whole,
and they're like,
that
sitteth
on many
waters.
Yes,
they're like, this is why we don't want you, because mm-hmm. what comes behind that is a destruction of our culture.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a destruction of our norms. Because with that, this is 1 Maccabees 1, 40, 40 on down, it says what? Many will consent to that religion.
Yep.
It's part of the deal. You don't, bring democracy. Democracy is code for all types of evils being multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand that. Read.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manners of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb.
So he says, listen, he knows that our people, if we have similitudes, if we have something to look to, we're going to want to chase after. This is why many of our people are chasing after Esau.
Right.
Right? Because, oh, okay, yeah, we want to be like that. We want to be like this. This is why you see people confused with the Moorish BS, confused with tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
I got freaking Asian letters. I'm not freaking Asian by any measure.
Yeah. We're confused because the crafty council, right, that was put up against us, stripped us from our heritage completely, right?
Right.
So because we have no heritage, we cleave to everything else because we're seeking some kind of identity. That's why we can accept these social norms so
right,
easily,
right.
Because we have no culture ourselves.
Right, right. It's empty and swept inside, so seven
right.
demons could come and overtake
right,
us.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Go ahead, read on.
Out of the midst of the fire.
Go ahead.
Lest ye corrupt yourselves.
Lest ye corrupt yourselves.
And make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of a male or female.
So he says, this is why I came in a burning bush, because if I would have came in any type mm-hmm. of image, you would have created an idol and given the power unto that idol. You would have worshipped
right.
the idol. Go ahead, read.
The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air.
Go ahead.
The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth.
Because it's within our people to set these things up as idolatry, and mm-hmm. it goes to that confusion of faces because of that, the way our culture is always subjected and subdued under this social control.
This is one of my favorite scriptures, though. It really is, bro. Like, it's so heavy. The Lord's like, yo, I had to come as something that you could not duplicate,
right?
Because I know the damn spirit that's within you,
right? Right.
It's heavy.
Hey, and you see it, bro. I'm telling you, this is why the Christmas songs are in our head.
Yep.
This is why the Christmas lights make you feel a way. You know what I'm saying?
Communication, doing it with the song.
Yeah, yeah. And it's why he tells you that everything's polluted, man, because mm-hmm. you see that stuff and you're like, oh,
right.
Look at the pretty lights. Mm-hmm. Right? Go ahead. The smell of the pine. Hey. Bro, I used to love the smell of the Christmas tree. Don't get me started with that. That thing is in my spirit. It's in my spirit, and this is why I say it's a conscious thing that we got to fight it, you know?
Right.
I mean, some people may have, like, just not liked it at all, but you have to understand that all of us have different strongholds, man. So that thing, sometimes I'll be smelling, and I'll be like, stay in the spirit. Go ahead, read.
Verse 19, unless thou lift up thy eye unto heavens, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heavens, should be driven to worship
and
them.
Understand the problem is not the images, mm-hmm. but it's that it's in our spirit to be driven to worship right. them, right? That's right. the kind of thing that right. happens. Go ahead, read.
And serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven.
So you have to understand what he said here is that all those other things, Christmas is included within that,
mm-hmm.
is not for you, but he made it for them.
Right.
So now when we go back to what Captain Amariah was saying, and he says, right, Judah 5, they understand that if we're not keeping the commandments, if we're not doing that we can be overcome. And so they create these agendas. It's not some conspiracy theory. They literally did this. They create these agendas,
right.
all right, where they say, okay, this will keep the people down. This will keep them away from their God, and we'll be able to continue to dominate over them, right? And because they understand that until the 144,000 are sealed, okay, with the proper doctrine and the understanding, that they will continue to have the rule. And nobody who's in rulership wants to give up the rule. Listen, when you sit in the seat of authority, you don't want to give that up, right?
No.
So it's not a stretch when we say that Christmas was created to keep us, right? And as long with all these other things, to keep us down. And it's perpetuated that way to keep us down. And this is why the scripture says this. And this is why we have to have what in sociological terms called the counterculture. Go ahead, read that in 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians. Book of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate.
The them is talking about the society at large, the dominant culture. Come out from among those who are not about the Most High in Christ, who are not going to keep his law, statutes, and commandments. Go ahead, read.
Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
It says, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This goes back to what we said in Judah 5. He says, if you don't touch Christmas, if you don't touch these things, right? We're talking about Christmas today. You understand this scripture can apply to many things.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you will have a counterculture, norms running counter to the behaviors of the overarching society. And it says they can be transmitted and maintained within small groups. This is why scripture says that there'll be many little sanctuaries.
Yep.
Listen, for as big as we may be as an organization, that's a drop in the bucket compared to the full number of the one-third.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right? All of the one-third is not coming through IUIC. It's not going to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be many little sanctuaries. Yes, we're one of the more prominent. We're one of the more organized. All right? We're one of the more structured. But there's going to be more that are going to come through. And the important thing is you got to see the parallels of this, of the counterculture of what's being in there. They maintain these social controls. All right. This is what's going on. Go ahead. Talk for a second.
Okay. Give me Revelation chapter 18, verse 4.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to precept that up what we just read right here in 2 Corinthians verse 6. You know what? Corinthians 6 and 17, too. That thing is a freaking killer when it comes to those that say, come as you are. There's no such thing as come as you are anywhere in these scriptures.
Bring it out. Cap.
It says, don't touch the unclean thing, then I will receive you. Revelation 18, verse 4.
The book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people.
So now, this is not saying, hey, you got to flee Babylon, all right? Mm-hmm. That doctrine out there, flee America, flee. There is nowhere to go. The only place that's going to be safe when the Lord returns and that destruction comes to earth, the only place that's safe is up. That's the reason why the chariots have to take those that are elected up in the chariots. Read.
That ye be not partakers of her sin. Sorry. That ye be not partakers of her sin. And that ye receive not of her plagues.
Because the Bible describes America, but the word America wasn't around back then.
Right.
So the Bible describes it as Babylon the Great.
That's
and
right.
This place is fitted for destruction. There's going to be destruction that comes to America through thermonuclear fire. It's
mm-hmm.
going to. You can't stop what God says is going to happen. And if you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, who are the biblical Israelites, don't want to be partakers of the plagues that's been ordained for this place, every kingdom comes to an end. Every single kingdom comes to an end. There's only one kingdom everlasting, and that's God's kingdom that's going to be established here on earth.
That's right.
They are given to the saints of the Most High. Every single kingdom throughout time, Egypt, ancient Babylon, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Media, Greece, Rome, and America is the same thing. There's an expiration date on every single kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to be partakers in that expiration date and received the same plagues that's coming to Babylon the Great, then it would behoove every single last one of you to bethink yourselves and start applying God's commandments.
That's right.
All right, let me see here. There was a caller. Let me try this again. Hold on. Make sure my volume is on. There we go.
On the Sabbath.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Are you still on?
Yes, I'm just listening. Is it okay?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I just see that the call-in came in, so, I mean, that's fine. You know, I just thought you might have had a
Thank
question
you.
Or whatever. So you're certainly fine, sister. If you have any questions or anything, we can answer that.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay. All right, all praises. Okay, so... real quick, I want to read about social control, and then I'm going to go into a little bit about the origins, all right? So social control, though not considered to be formal laws within society, norms still work to promote a great deal of social control, right? And social control, I want you to understand, is defined as this, is a concept within the discipline of the social sciences, and they have a picture of like things like no dogs or animals in play park, right? And there's a thing there. That's not a code. That's not a law that can actually be enforced by police. But the fact that you'll do things, remember we read earlier that the social norms, they'll put, oh gosh, what was it called? Those messages, normative messages.
Mm-hmm.
And the normative messages, like curb your dog. I mean, in New York, there's like actually city ordinances where you got to curb your dog. But, I mean, you go to, like, an HOA, I mean, there's really no way that that's something that can be enforced. What, are they going to arrest you, fine you because you don't pick up your dog's poop?
There's that social experiment that they have on Facebook of people that come into, like, a doctor's office, right? And then every so often there's a bell that goes off and then someone stands up.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
then they sit back down. Yeah. And then, so you're sitting there like, okay. And then eventually people start doing it. It's just, okay. Like, no one told them, hey, stand up.
Right.
But they see everyone else doing it, so then they just start doing it.
Right. So here's what's real interesting. Listen to this. So it says, they are statements that regulate conduct. So it says it's statements that regulate conduct. Social norms are basically statements. And I don't mean statements like Amariah stated this. It means in general, with the people standing for them, that makes a statement. So it says they are statements that regulate conduct. This whole thing with Christmas and this compulsion to keep Christmas. If you really think about it, why does anybody really keep Christmas other than just because your parents did it and everybody else does it?
Right, right.
There's no spiritual reason that you keep it. I mean, you know, Christianity as a religion at large will tell you that's why they keep it. But then if that's the case, why are they doing the other stuff?
Right.
Which isn't prescribed of it, right? It says the cultural phenomenon, because this is what it is. It actually wows the shit out of them about these freaking academics as to how people move as a unit, how society moves. The cultural phenomenon that is the norm is the prescriber of acceptable behavior in specific instances. It's the prescriber. It means it guides and navigates. This is why it says we got to be separate. Don't be touched by the unclean thing. All right? This is why it says beware. It says ranging in variations depending on culture, race, religion, and geographical location. It is the foundation of the term some know acceptable as not to injure others, the golden rule, and to keep promises that have been pledged. Just giving you a few that are somewhat universal that you see parallels with. Without them, there would be a world without consensus, common ground, or restrictions. And the issue is we need to have the common ground or the consensus under the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And that's what Christ is coming to set in order. Right now, the consensus is based on, this is what I said earlier, you can apply these sociological terms to us in here, but the difference is that we're using something that's much higher than human thoughts and feelings
right.
as the mediator for that, right? It says, even though the law and state legislation is not intended to control social norms, society and the law are inherently linked, and one dictates the other.
Mm.
I got to read that again because it's going to go over people's head.
Yeah.
It says, even though the law and the state's legislation is not intended to control social norms, society and the laws on the books, are inherently linked, and one dictates the other.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that with the Sodom agenda and the legality of it, right? It started, people were still getting married as homos. It just wasn't recognized by the law.
Right.
So as it became a socially acceptable behavior, the law followed suit and put it on the books and said it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of this thing. This is why they say it's a cultural phenomenon. You see that with Christmas. I ordained this day to be a day. Federal offices are closed. And what happens? Businesses don't have to close that day. But why do they do it? The law made it a federal holiday. And now, personally, everybody follows after that. Okay,
right.
I'm closing my practice. I'm closing my office. I'm closing this. We're going to be closed this, that. That's not everybody, right? We understand it. But it goes to show you it's the power and the effect that it has and how they're related, okay? Mm-hmm. It says, this is why it has been said that the language used in some legislation is controlling and dictating for what should or should not be accepted. For example, the criminalization of familial sexual relations is said to protect those that are vulnerable. However, even consenting adults cannot have sexual relationships with their relatives. The language surrounding these laws conveys the message that such acts are supposedly immoral and should be condemned, even though there's no actual victim in these consenting relationships. We understand that's inspired scripturally as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can be too consenting, but stuff like that shouldn't be going on. But it's just going to show you, right, how this stuff is set out. It says social norms can be enforced formally through sanctions or informally through body language and nonverbal communication cues. This is the shaming, all right, that I was saying that people say when you don't keep Christmas. Because individuals often derive physical or psychological resources from group membership, groups are set to control discretionary stimuli. Groups can withhold or give out more resources in response to members' adherence to group norms, effectively controlling member behavior through rewards and operant conditioning. That's remember that term, operant conditioning. Look, I can go on and on and on about this, but I'm going to go ahead and just jump onto some of the origins here. If you have time, you really definitely want to read about social norms, all right? It's very powerful stuff. So Christmas. Hold on. Let me. I gotta mute stuff. I'm always. anyway, so the Christmas is a hodgepodge, right, of a bunch of different pagan festivals. We've said this before. It is primarily and most popularly based on Saturnalia.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm looking up the definition of Saturnalia, and it says the ancient Roman festival of Saturn in December, their god Saturn, which was a period of general merrymaking and was the predecessor of Christmas. So it was the direct predecessor of Christmas. Christmas came out of Saturnalia, all right? It says Saturnalia was an ancient Roman festival in honor of the god Saturn, held on 17 December of the Julian calendar, and later expanded with festivities through the 23rd of December. The holiday was celebrated with a sacrifice at the Temple of Saturn in the Roman Forum and a public banquet, followed by private gift-giving, continual partying, and a carnival atmosphere that overturned Roman social norms. All right, that overturned it. Gambling was permitted, and masters provided table service for their slaves. A common custom was the election of a king of the Saturnalia who would give orders to people and preside over the merrymaking. This is where the whole concept of it's better to give than to receive came
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why they said, oh, okay, we're going to reverse the roles. You have to understand the roots of all this and how it evolved to what it is today. All right. Hold on a second. Go ahead. All right. Disregard. So it says, a common custom was the election of the king of Saturnalia who would give orders to people and preside over the merrymaking. The gifts exchanged were usually gag gifts or small figurines made of wax or pottery known as sigillaria. The poet Catullus called it the best of days. Saturnalia was the Roman equivalent to the earlier Greek holiday of Cronia, which was celebrated during the Attic month of Hecatombaion. In late midsummer, it held theological importance for some Romans who saw it as a restoration of the ancient golden age when the world was ruled by Saturn. The Neoplatonist philosopher Porphyry interpreted the freedom associated with Saturnalia as symbolizing the freeing of souls into immortality. Saturnalia may have influenced some of the customs associated with later celebrations in Western Europe occurring in midwinter, particularly traditions associated with Christmas, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, and Epiphany. So all these things they're telling you is that it's all come together in what you know as Christmas today. And then they threw Christ in the mix to try to get when I say Christians, I'm talking about at that time real Christians, which is those that followed after Christ, those of our people that followed after Christ, and they try to get him caught up in that stuff.
Right, right. Can I get a scripture cap?
Go ahead.
Give me Wisdom of Solomon 14, verse 16. And then this is how they threw Christ into it, right? Wisdom of Solomon chapter 14 and verse 16.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha, chapter 14, verse 16. Thus, in process of time, an ungodly custom grown strong was kept as a law.
Over the process of time, all right? It didn't happen just overnight, but over the process of time, an ungodly custom grown strong was kept by as a law. The ungodly custom that we're talking about today is that of Christmas. It has nothing to do with God, but over a supposition of time, we keep these traditions of men rather than fearing God and keeping his commandments. Read on.
And graven images were worshipped by the commandments of kings.
So then they put Christ into it. They say, okay, mm-hmm. This is the day that Christ was born. They gave us that false image of Christ, which is Caesar Borgia, all right? That has that the image that they gave us in itself, us worshiping that as the Savior is a sin. But it said, kept by the commandments of kings, mm-hmm. all right? And those commandments of kings follow to true today. It's the same exact thing. That's what they put up. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They put up Santa Claus. All these things. Over a process of time, these ungodly things that have grown so strong in our people that now, like we're talking about the whole social norms, that you get shamed when you don't partake in these things. Now, it's not a physical law that's on the books and say, hey, if you don't celebrate this, then, you know, you're going to go to jail or get a fine. But to not have to go through that shame and everything else, then we just so readily accept it.
Right. Well, and that's why it says it's a phenomenon, because it works.
Right.
It's a social control, and it works more so than even a law on the book in some cases. Mm-hmm. People are beholden to that, right? Let me see. I'm trying to scroll through here about they talk about Christmas, the Nativity of Jesus. It's not really. They talk about caroling. None of that stuff has anything to do with that. Let's see, nativity, the history, various dates for the anniversary. So the point is, I wanted to, you know, because when you read the one about Christmas, they proffer it up as, you know, something that is biblical, although there's really no scriptures that they can use for it. They just kind of talk about.
There is no scripture that says to celebrate Christmas. Not a one. It's not in the Bible. In fact, the Bible teaches that celebrating birthdays is a sin. So for those that say, oh, it's Christ's birthday.
Yes.
Christ never gave the commandment.
So I want to read this part, and then I'm gonna read my scripture, and then we'll wrap up. So the introduction of the feast of Christmas. All right. As Christmas was known to the early Christian writers, it must have been introduced from apostolic times. Remember, prior to that, it was Saturnalia, and we understand Rome was in power at the time. So they're saying it came out. And there's another heading here that says they chose to make it December 25th, and you'll read and understand why. So it says Irenaeus mentions it in his list of feasts, even says the exact date of birth was December 25th. Tertullian is one of the first Christians who affirmed the date of Christ's death as having a correlation with the date of his birth. The earliest known – so see the contradiction? They say the date of his death with the date of his birth. Mm-hmm. We know he died around Passover.
Right.
He was born around Passover, right? But then somehow they come with December 25th. So, mm-hmm. you know, even ancient scholars kind of knew, but it goes back to what we were saying, that this was a setup. It's a council. It's a crafty council that they do to put this out. It says the earliest known Christmas celebration is recorded in a first century document called Apostolic Constitutions, meaning it's not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It says it's not recorded in the Bible. This manuscript, thought to have been written by Clement Romanus, AD 70, is thought to record a celebration that occurred in the earliest times. In Eastern Christianity, the birth of Jesus was celebrated in connection with the Epiphany on January 6th. January 6th is also known for Three Kings Day. So you see how all this stuff starts to convoluted and mixed in,
right.
Which, however, emphasized celebration of the baptism of Jesus. Christmas was promoted into Christian East as part of the revival of the Nicene Christianity following the death of the pro-Arian Emperor Valens at the Battle of Adrianople in 378. The feast was introduced at Constantinople in 379 in Antioch by John Chrysostom towards the end of the 4th century, probably in 388, and in Alexandria only in the following century, meaning that there's no ancient biblical context to keep this day, all right? Unlike, Passover, Day of Atonement.
I was going to say that. unlike Leviticus, the 23rd chapter.
Right. Mm-hmm. The feast disappeared after Gregory of Nazianzus resigned as bishop in 381, although it was reintroduced by John Chrysostom in about 400. Even in the West, January 6th celebration of the Nativity of Jesus seems to have continued, which is what the Three Kings Day is about that a lot of northern kingdoms celebrate. Mm-hmm. So now, it says choice of December 25th as the date. In the 3rd century, the date of birth of Jesus was the subject of both great interests. It is of general acknowledgement that the birth of Christ was celebrated, not taking into consideration the historical date of birth, but a conventional one. Around AD 200, Clement of Alexandria wrote, "There are those who have determined not only the year of our Lord's birth, but also the day. And they say that it took place in the 28th year of Augustus and in the 25th day of the Egyptian month, Pachan. Further, others say that he was born on the 24th or 25th of Farmuthi, which is April 20 or 21st. So I see May, I see April. You see nothing here with December. I see August. Okay, so it's telling you what they were trying to research, which the scripture gives it plainly if you understand it. In other writing of this time, May 20th, April 18th or 19th, March 25th, January 2nd, November 17th, and November 20th all suggested. So they're just going nuts with this stuff, right? So it says they basically went ahead and they decided to pattern it after the winter solstice of the Roman calendar.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They say Jesus chose to be born on the shortest day of the year for symbolic reasons. So they went ahead and they said, hey, we're just going to do it this way for symbolic reasons. there's a whole bunch of other stuff here. I mean, people don't read about this, right? I mean, like us, we celebrate the feast days, and when we do the closing, we did the opening, and when we do the closing, we're going to talk about the Maccabees and what the significance of the feast is. With the feast, every time we do a feast day, we'll go over the significance of it. Mm-hmm. People under the construct of social norms just celebrate this stuff blindly without rhyme or reason. They run into this stuff.
It said that he chose to be born that day?
Yeah.
Even though he said, I didn't come to do my will?
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm a will.
Give me 2 Peter 2 and 12.
Gosh.
I want to read 12 through 16.
Yes, sir. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 12. But these, as natural beauty.
2 Peter 1 and 12. Sorry.
Oh, yes, sir.
I apologize. 1 and 12.
The book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent for so.
To put you always in remembrance.
Yes. Wherefore, I will not be negligent mm-hmm. to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though ye know them and be established in the presence.
This is why whenever the holidays are around, some of you may know them, mm-hmm. but I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. Because walking in the spirit is a conscious thing. You cannot sleepwalk through it. It is not passive. What is passive and what's easy is being carnal. Go ahead, read on.
Yeah, I think it meet as long as I am in these tabernacles to stir you up. Yea, I think it's meet as long as I am in the tabernacles to stir you up by putting you in remembrance.
It says, I think it's meet. That as long as I'm in the tabernacle, I need to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Go ahead, read.
Knowing that certainly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me.
So he knew that his time on this earth was coming to an end as he said this, right? But go ahead.
Moreover, I will endure that
endeavor
that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance.
We must always have these things in remembrance and never forget, especially when it comes to things like Christmas and the type of vibe that it puts you in. Read.
For we have not followed cunningly devised fables.
We have not followed cunningly devised fables such as Christmas. A cunningly devised. We just read all the confusion about the dates, how to tie it to Christ. It doesn't make sense. What makes sense is the most reasonable explanation is that the predecessor of what is now known as Christmas is the Roman festival of Saturnalia, and that it has its roots in many pagan origins. Read.
Right.
Well, read verse 16 again.
Yes, sir. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the powers and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But
I just wanted verse 16. All right. And then I'm going to do Jeremiah 10. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, I was going to say, man. Uh-huh. I hit that Jeremiah. Hold up.
All right.
I'm gonna read it real quick so we can go through it fast. So it says, Jeremiah 10:1, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Christmas is a heathen custom. Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. That's what we read in Deuteronomy. That's for them to be, oh, I got to make this a god. Us, if we look to the stars, if we look to anything like that, we should give thanks to the Most High that by his word he spoke those things into existence. All right? You can appreciate the beauty and the magnificence of the moon and the full moon and all that other stuff with the proper understanding behind it. It's not a god in and of itself. God spoke those things into existence. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. Because the Christmas tree has its origins in things much further than even Saturnalia, right? It says, they deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Sounds like decorating the Christmas tree. That's exactly what it's speaking about. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born. Means you got to water it, you got to care for it, because they cannot go. It's telling you there's no power in that stuff. Mm-hmm. But we treat it as an idol. You sit down, the tree.
You decorate it. Everything
you
else.
Decorate it. You trim it. You take care of it. Yeah. You put gifts, offerings under it. You cook a meal and sacrifice an honor to that stuff. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. All right. And I'm going to take that step further. Don't be afraid of the people that are going to try to shame you for not keeping Christmas, for not keeping these wicked holidays, which have nothing to do
right
with the Most High in Christ. You stand on your ground of the scriptures.
Right.
And even if you don't have full understanding to combat it, your simple answer should be, hey, Christmas is not in the Bible. All right.
That's it.
And that's why I don't do it.
And
be rooted and built up in that.
We didn't get a chance to bring out today, but there's a book called The Two Babylons, and it really thoroughly explains the origin of Christmas
to the
Babylon captivity. Mm-hmm. When it says to not be afraid of it, meaning the tree, because the old custom that it was kept was Nimrod's blood fell onto the tree stump, and then it became this tree. So they would bring offerings to the tree. Same thing that we do today, right? We take the presents, we put them under the tree as an offering that keeps the spirit of Nimrod going. That's that you're offering things unto idols. And then our people believe if they didn't bring offerings that the tree would come alive and then attack you. It's all wickedness.
Right, right. And Cap, what's crazy, in verse 2 it says don't be astonished by the signs of heaven. Sorry. Don't be dismayed by the signs of heaven. It's talking about the stars, right?
Yeah.
What do they put on top of the Christmas tree?
Star.
A star.
Mm-hmm.
So this scripture is talking about Christmas. It's talking about the Christmas tree.
Right.
So
exactly. Anyway, that's the show. All right. I pray y'all were edified. It's a good one to share for those that are about to be celebrating Christmas. All right. You can go ahead and pass this along to them. But most of them probably won't watch. It's of the Lord. So right. You never know. Time and chance is given to all Israel, and share it. And
you would never know, but you would be negligent if you didn't bring these things
up.
Yeah,
you would be negligent if you didn't bring it out. That is correct. All right, so this is the Native Latin and Black Girls History Show. Lord's will, you catch us on the air next weekend. We have the Spanish show tomorrow, I believe. I don't know if they're not going to do it because of the new moon. They should anyway. But Sundays we do the Spanish show. Saturdays we have this show. Make sure you tune in, like, share, support. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.